Don't worry, guys. I'm not going to inflict that 2-minute message on you anymore, as I'm sure you all know by now that we're going on Patreon next Tuesday. Just want to say thank you very, very much for listening during January. Really, really appreciate it. And fingers crossed, we'd speak to most of you next Tuesday when you join the extended panel.
You were fucked over the line twice. Fucked over the line like you'd catch a fucking loaf of bread and fucked you over the line with his shoulder.
But for my part, what concerned me was the way his good name was attacked.
The game is called football for a very simple reason, that you're predominantly supposed to use the foot.
Welcome along to the Smaller Fish Football Show. We're in association with Benetti Menswear. Featured stock list can be found online at benetti.ie. So today is our second last show before we go on Patreon next Tuesday. We'll be doing a show on Monday, again, a league review show. And then they're all going to go on Patreon. So we'll be giving you plenty of notice and plenty of information on what you have to do for that. Last football show on a Thursday before we go on it. We have a new pundit on the team, Eamon Leper Callaghan. Welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Willie. Good to be honest.
So 39 years old and top scorer in Leinster. I thought you were telling me that this was the way we had to start. I had to start the show with you.
Yeah, no, that's what that was in the contract. I had to talk about that first. That's the first first thing on the agenda.
So was it 44? Was it 44 points you got?
44 in Leinster.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Was I reading that right? No.
Maybe 24. No. Well, maybe, yeah, it's 20 something, I'd say. I don't know. Jesus, only four games. I wouldn't mind a 44 now, but no, I don't think it was that high.
Well, you were on the freeze, you see. I was getting carried away with myself there completely. Maybe it was 24. Somebody sent it to me recently. You have to ask him about being top scorer in Leinster, which I suppose is no good to you when you didn't win the Leinster, isn't that it?
No, that's it. It was a bit depressing, to be honest. Someone actually told me that during the week, and I was like, oh, God. But yeah, just kind of brought it back to me. But I know, like as well, I wouldn't really count the freeze as a scoring thing. Like, it's more from play. I'd be looking at the kind of top scorers from play. Like, so I don't really read too much into that now.
Well, thank you for saying that as a free taker. Well, you're not a free taker at county. I think you've taken a few frees down in your day in either county. But thank you for saying that, because this does my head in. The free takers, somebody like me running down the middle, get the legs taken from under them, and some free taker taps it over the bar, and now they're getting credited with my bloody pint.
Yeah, I would have said it for years now. I didn't take frees for Kildare only once. I think one league game I took them, but even with my club, I wasn't really the free taker, but it's kind of your job. Like, you're kind of supposed to chip over the old 20, 30-yard frees. Like, if you're missing them, like, you know, it's not... Yeah, I never took too much value in them now, to be honest. You know, it is, like you said there, it's more like your team or the lads who are getting fouled are the kind of lads doing all the work. So it never really stood to me now.
Yeah, what do you think of that, Aaron? These top scorer of the year charts, and it's completely skewed in favour of the lads that take frees.
You remember you were talking to another free taker here as well, Colm. But no, I would be the same, particularly as an attacking halfback. I would have put more weight on what I was doing from open play and the influence that I was having. Obviously, the frees, they are very important, and you're expected to stick them over. But yeah, I would have been of the same opinion that it's my influence on the game, you know, whether that was attacking, defending, bringing others into it, that's where you really race how well you're going, because sometimes you could chip over, you know, four or five frees, and it might look like you've had a busy day, but you haven't contributed a whole pile. But they're very important, that they need to be nailed, but that's why you're staying behind after training and doing all the extras, because that's your job.
Yeah, I suppose that's it. Like, I mean, they're very important. I think there should be a separate free taking competition, like top scorer leper, or percentage of free scored type kind of, you know, end of year stat. And then there should be scorers from play, which free takers are allowed, you know, enter as well.
Yeah, like that's what free takers would be judged on, their percentage, really. And then, like, you know, if you see a drop off in percentage, it's usually lads shooting from outside the range, you know, or trying to take frees on that they shouldn't be. But yeah, like I think there should be a from play, like the charts should be really a top scorer from play, and that should be it, like, you know.
Yeah, would you ever, Aaron, be called down, because you're obviously taking them off your left from wing back, and somebody gets fouled out near the sideline and it's your first free and they're calling you up and you're like, here, feck off, mate, I'm not starting zero for one. Like, I mean, would that go on where you'd be called for one that you don't really want to take?
No, true story, without dragging this out too long. I'd never hit frees. I didn't even hit frees for Cross McGlen. And it was my first year in the Armagh team, and we were playing Donegal in the championship, the quarterfinal in Clonus. And Paddy McKeever was always hitting them for us, or John McEntee, but the two of them weren't playing that day. Well, Paddy McKeever would hit them, John Mack would have been second. So we actually didn't have a left footer. And McConville was hitting them all, and even he was encroaching over to the right-hand side of the field, but he seen that this one was well over, and there's no way he was hitting it. So he called me up, but it was sideline under 21, and I was like, what are you doing calling me up? By pure luck, it went over, and I stuck on them, but that's how it started. I didn't practice. There was someone within the club was even hitting them, a left footer. So yeah, I got thrown in at the deep end straight away. Trust Oisín to put that one on me.
Yeah, so we want to get in. We've inter-county season back here, lads. And just one bit of news before we get into the matches. It's very, very difficult to do a league preview show. And it's very difficult to do a league preview show when you have All-Ireland Club semi-finals bloody on the same weekend. But the water breaks are gone, Eamon. Now, I'm 43, you're 39. Aaron, what age are you? 36, 37?
I'm 38.
38. Yeah. Like, I presume we're all disgusted the water breaks are gone. Leper, I'll start with you.
Oh, absolutely raging. Yeah, like, to be honest, I loved those water breaks. Just even from, like, even getting in as a team and talking, but just you get your breath for, like, I know they're only a minute, but they're really 2 or 3 minutes by the time you get in and have your chat and back out. It's a good 2 or 3 minutes. It's just a nice little break up of the half, like, you know. just gives you a bit more energy. You can get, you know, you can get a bit of Lucozade into you or something, you know what I mean? It just breaks up the half, and you can kind of go at it again then for the last. It just broke up the game into 4 quarters, like.
Take our age out of it. What do you think of it if you were 24 or as a spectator?
Yeah, the spectator, I can understand completely the spectator. Like, it just stops the game, it stops the flow, and you're standing around, you know, for a couple of minutes there when you want to be watching the game. But as a player, I thought they were good, even just to get in and have a chat with lads, talk about different things that are going on in the game, you know, like just little tactical things. You can address in the minute, but yeah, for supporters, I'd say it would be a bit of a pain.
Because I suppose mostly, Aaron, you're seeing supporters online, and the talk is that everybody hates these water breaks. I'm a supporter now, you know, or analyst. I work in it. I don't particularly like them from a spectacle point of view, but the junior matches, I was delighted with them. But, like, I mean, I have to stress, I'm 43. Like, what's your take on them still playing?
I'll be honest, I hated them. I think they just broke up momentum completely. Like, I can just go back to our county final. We started the second half absolutely flaying and went 6 points clear, in complete control. And then we just had conceded a point just before the water break, but it just turned the whole game again. Clanairn then got themselves reorganized, made switches. You know, the break went on for 3 or 4 minutes. And next thing, on our kickout then, we ended up being camped in, and they got 3 points in a row, and then the whole momentum changed in the game. That's something that you never had before. You know, managers could have been shouting instructions from the sideline, but you can't get your 15 players in and make all the changes and make sure everyone's getting the exact same message. So, you know, whether we were going well or we needed help, I personally didn't like them at all. And I found myself just tuning out of them, because a couple of times in club league games, you're under pressure and referees went and started the game with the other team, and we ended up scrambling to try and get into positions. So I was always nearly looking to see what's the referee doing here, and never really took too much of the messages on board. But for me, I'm glad that we're back to, you can talk plenty before the game, you can talk plenty at halftime, and I think there's a time where you just have to let players make decisions for themselves, see, you know, where tweaks needed to be made or whatever. But it definitely was a huge momentum killer for me, and I'll not be sorry to see the back of them.
See, this is, of course, Leper, you were manager or assistant manager, assistant to Owen Doyle for this. So maybe you're looking, I'd say managers are going to miss them a lot, because, like, I mean, it got to the stage, they're only meant to be a drink of water. There's lads out with bloody tactics boards, and they're delighted to be shown at how great they are on television, you know, and it had gotten into some little bit about all about the manager and another team talk, and the cameras are on them. And, you know, I would say their management are definitely sad to see the back of them.
Yeah, and that's it. Like, when we were playing those couple of games, like, when, you know, when Owen was in charge, it was great to get in and just get an extra bit of talking to the lads, you know, because as a manager, that's all you want. You want to be able to communicate with your players, especially without the runner. Now, we used to have a runner I remember would come in and out with instructions and you could talk to you, and he'd be in constantly, but that's gone. So yeah, trying to get messages onto the pitch is a big one. You know, like different instructions, whether it be kickouts or different tactical things. Like, so that was kind of just an opportunity for you to get some messages across, I suppose. But with the runner gone, it is, you're kind of left to your own really for the 30 minutes or 35 minutes. So it'll change things.
Yeah, like, so there's a return of the Mayor Ishka or Mayor Fuerna. You know, you're allowed two per team, and there's strict guidelines around who's allowed be the Mayor Ishka. They have to be over 18 years of age, and they can't be an injured player, they can't be a coach, they can't be a manager, can't be in your backroom team or panel at all, or your extended panel, which kind of narrows down your opportunities. But Aaron, even worse, they can't enter the field of play. Now, remember the runners, grand, there was one or two altercations, but on the scale of things, were they that big of a problem? And like, I mean, why do you need a Mayor Ishka? You could just leave the bottles lined up on the sideline if the players have to come all the way over to take, you know, to be handed it.
Yeah, Tony McEntee has a lot to answer for, doesn't he, in terms of getting involved in play. But yeah, to me, I'm assuming the two is you'll have one on one side of the field inside the 45, and on the opposite side of the field, you'll have someone else, and they're able just to throw water bottles on
to
and
throw
off
it in.
I'd say that's really it, to stop players from having to come to the sideline. To me, the amount of issues that were caused in the vast majority of games, probably minimal. But then whenever you've seen the level of detail that maybe or some of the shenanigans that was going on in the bigger games, your Dublin Mayo games a couple of years ago where people were blocking spaces or being slow about getting back off the field, it might have had bigger complications at that stage. But yeah, for me, how are you, if you're a club, where do you go about getting somebody now who has no involvement whatsoever and trying to have him plucked, you know, from the crowd, or it's just someone else that you're having to organise to come and get involved with your group? Some instances it might be easy enough to find somebody, but in other cases it won't. Like, and how do you police that properly? Do you know, there's just too many people that you're ruling out that can't do that there, do that role, that to me, I think they're just creating more hassle for themselves and officials and match day.
And then, of course, you know, when he becomes your Mayor Ishka, he automatically becomes part of your backroom team, and he's in probably around dressing rooms, and then he is part of it, which he's not meant to be part of it. Maybe they're supposed to stay outside the dressing room and be completely, you know, autonomous and not have any kind of involvement in the squad at all. But anyways, listen, we get into the matches here, lads, because it's kicking off with a bang. It's Dublin and Armagh in Croke Park, and it's always a big game, the very first one. So I'd say Armagh are delighted to be up into the big time. We'll talk about them in a second. Dublin are an interesting one, though, Leper, because, like, I mean, like I keep saying on the show that I didn't believe last year that they were there for the take. And I thought, yeah, they're, you know, they got it easy against Kildare, but that was the Kildare tactics, and they were slow pedestrian against Meath. And I was saying they're going to spark into life, and they never did spark into life. And now, I suppose, you know, they'd gone very pedestrian with their attacking. They'd gone very sideways, backwards. Niall Scully might get the ball and he could start walking solo and with it. Like, there was no urgency about them. And they had taken these kind of, you know, we're going to frustrate the opposition and not give them the ball, I think a little bit too far. But I suppose it's understandable, considering if Desi came in, changed everything that they had been doing beforehand, you know, he'd be blamed for it. But I suppose they've lost now. So what would you like to see from them this year?
Yeah, I know. I was at the Leinster final last year, and it was the first time I remember walking out of Croke Park, and I was just thinking, geez, like, they're not the same. They're definitely there for the taking. Like, you know, when they get to the bigger games, like, I was like thinking, like, Mayo or Kerry or whoever would, you know, tear them apart. They looked different. They didn't seem like they had the same energy, same threat going forward. Like, Kildare got it back to that game in the second half, got it back to 3 points. And I remember, was it 3 points and we missed a mark or something, a kind of simple enough score. I would have put them under serious pressure, and then they just kind of got back and got a score off that, and just saw out the game. But I remember thinking, like, geez, like, this definitely is different than what we've seen before, especially in the Leinster Championship. Like, we've never seen them really like contested. Like, so, that was a big one for me. I think just with the amount of players they've lost over the last 2 or 3 years, you just can't sustain that, the amount of experience they've lost there. And I think they're just struggling really to replace those lads. So it'll be interesting this year to see how they get on in the league as well. You know, the first time having to prepare for a league in a long time where they're not all Ireland champions. You know, what's the hunger like? What's the motivation like? It's going to be very interesting to see how they get on.
Yeah, like, I mean, I suppose, Aaron, it was definitely a motivation thing last year. I think it was a tactical one too. I think they kick out short way too often. They don't seem to have any urgency to get the ball up the other end of the field. They seem to be happy for the other team to set up and we'll play that boring over and back thing and break you down slowly. And, you know, instead of blowing teams away, they're like leaving teams in it a little bit.
The personnel is huge, you know, that they have lost. And to be honest with you, it's just so hard to replace generational players. And no matter how big their population is or player pool, they just had some exceptional footballers that it could be years before they replaced them. But I do think the biggest issues they had, they just looked stale. And that's the one word I would say. They played with no urgency all across the field. They just looked, motivation was lacking. There was no zip about them. There was no physicality about them. They were just sort of comfortable within their own skins. And it didn't really look like there was ever a huge amount of... You play how you train. And losing so many players, not having the same quality coming through, the same questions obviously weren't being asked of players in their in-house games, the same pressure wasn't on them to perform or to hold on to places, and it seemed to drip into how they turned up on match day. And Eamon Drake, like, it would be interesting to see, you know, how they come out of it. I would imagine the likes of, well, obviously Desi and his management team, but I would think your James McCarthy's, Brian Fenton, Kilkenny's, those guys, are going to be really driving the standards and the competition within the squad to try and get back to the level that they were at. So that's going to be interesting to see how they come out. And particularly this weekend, are they going to lay down a mark or are we going to have more of the same where they think we can turn this on? You know, we don't need to peak now. We can afford to wait until later in the year. Because from what I've seen of them so far and a few bits and pieces I've heard from people who are at other O'Byrne Cup games and what I seen last week against Laois was they're just making an awful lot of sloppy mistakes that you don't expect from this Dublin team. And I'm just talking about basics like their shot selection at times, just simple passes, whether that's foot pass and hand pass and kickouts going astray, people getting turned over, being under pressure from their own kickouts. And that was against Laois last week. You know, you could visibly see it in front of you. Now, granted, they have quite a few sort of household names that, if available, can come back into the team. And I was led to believe that apparently they had a challenge game against Roscommon where whoever didn't play against Laois played in that, and that was last Saturday as well. So you would have to expect that they will have your James McCarthy, Mike Fitzsimmons, Johnny Cooper, Conor O'Callaghan, Brian Howard, those boys to come back in. But if they're not there, what I seen against Laois last weekend wouldn't really scare me, to be honest. And that's probably surprising given what we've expected from the Dubs this past 10 years.
There's no big name coming through. There's no Conn and Howard who came through the same minors. Then obviously, you know, Kilkenny, McCaffrey, Mannion came off the same minors. You know, all these lads that come together. Well, like Archer.
Lee Gannon was very impressive last week. Now, I thought he was good in cornerback. He had a bit of pace and a bit of bite about him. But yeah, Kieran Archer is the big one now, I suppose, from the under-20s.
Yeah, Kieran Archer seems to be the only name that you're kind of thinking of. But like he'd be looking to compete with maybe a Dean Rock, you know, Leper. Like, I mean, it is difficult. Like I see Desi Farrell, like he's changed up a little. Like he's moved Kilkenny into the full forward line. He moved Brian Howard into the backs. Like he's trying to freshen it up a little bit. But I suppose, you know, it's still the same 15, really.
Yeah, it is. And that's the thing. If you're not getting that little bump of energy from a young lad, you know, from a lad coming in off the 20s or 21s, you know, that's massive, and that has been massive for Dublin, you know, over the last 10 years. And even you can see Kerry, you know, in the last couple of years have got those lads in, and it just drives everything on. But I still think the big one for Dublin is Cluxton. I don't think you can put a value on him. The importance he has, not even on the pitch, but off the field in training, just the standards he would set. Like it's, you can't put a value on that, and even with his kickouts and stuff, like you'd never, like, you know, it's a huge platform for them, and I think that's a massive one for them as well. And I don't think his first year gone, you know, when he was gone last year, like, you know, it was just you could see it that there was a drop in something, and I think that was it. You know, like, so he was massive as well for them. You know, not getting not only on the pitch with his kickouts and with his, you know, his communication, but just the standards he would set in training. I know, would be unbelievable, and like losing that is massive.
Yeah, no, I agree, definitely. And the way he finished probably didn't help the squad either. It was a bit messy, and it probably maybe filtered into the general feeling around it. What about Armagh, Aaron? Like, I mean, I've been here in Armagh's boots with Laois. You know, you're promoted Division One. You know, you're up with the big boys, and every league game is practically a championship game because you want to come in, you want to hit these lads, you want to prove you're as good at them. Like, I see Armagh practically playing 7 championship games here. They've waited bloody long enough to get back there.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. That's where we're at this stage. Last year was great to get up and cement their place and not come back down again, but it was basically just a mini Ulster championship.
Yeah, it wasn't the real league. Yeah.
No, and this is, well, with a spectator hat or a supporter hat, like, this is what we really wanted. You want to be challenged against the top teams, your doubles and carries. Do you know that it's years since we have done. I think it's possibly 2012 since we last played both of those counties, and yeah, ultimately that's where you're going to get your biggest tests. And it's very new. Like, there's so many of our boys who this will be their first outing in Croke Park this weekend, which, you know, even given your Ryan O'Neill, for instance, like, I suppose all that he has been talked about this past few years, this is his first opportunity to get out on Croke Park and showcase his skills and to be playing against the Dubs in a season opener for them all. It's definitely, it's very exciting around the county, and I'm sure it would be within that group as well, that they have to be focused on what they're going to do. But you know yourself, and no matter how many times you played in Croke Park, there's just something special about the bus pulling in underneath the stadium and the opportunity that is ahead of you.
Yeah, no, definitely. And look, let's be honest, playing Dublin in Croke Park adds that little bit extra as well, you know, definitely. What about Geezer Leper? You know him well. What was his attitude towards the league? Is he like a let's win every game type manager, or is he, look, this is the National League, lads, you know, we've bigger fish to fry?
No, he'll be win every game. He'll be preparing for that, you know, over the last few months. You know, firstly when they came back to him pre-season, you know, the big focus is Division One. You know, he would have had this, and when the fixtures came out and seeing Dublin first up in Croke Park, you know, would have given them all a lift and something just to focus on. The thing with Geezer as well is, and it's kind of similar enough to his time with Kildare. I think he's in his seventh year now, or maybe he's done 7 years with Armagh. So he knows them. Like, you know, he has them drilled. He has them playing the way he wants them to play. He's seen them, an awful lot of them, obviously, over the last number of years. So they're ready, I think. You know, I think he's in a good position to kind of make that step up to Division One now with that Armagh team, because, you know, they've been progressing over the last couple of years. And now I think they're in a position like where they'd be hoping that they can go up and compete in Division One and not be one of those kind of next tier teams going up and down, you know, and looking into relegation. So he'll want to definitely lay down a marker early, you know, especially against Dublin, especially in Croke Park. And, you know, if you could nick a result there, it would be massive for them for the rest of the league, you know, because like, obviously every single game up there is going to be very tough, but I think they're actually in a very good position to contest against a lot of those teams.
Yeah, no, I think they'll definitely contest, and I think their long ball game will probably cause Dublin a few problems, Aaron. Like, I mean, Armagh are trying to get that mixture right between giving it long. I talked to Oisín O'Neill on the show, and, you know, he talked well about, you know, getting that ball in good and early, and then knowing when it's not on, and, you know, being smart with the ball and not giving it away. Just, you know, oh, we're married to this long ball game. That's kind of what Armagh are doing.
Yeah, the one thing with Dublin is Dublin's going to give them opportunities. Like, they'll come out, and if you want to play a ball against them, they'll let you play a ball, and they'll go likewise. The two big improvements probably that Armagh could potentially make this year, and it's just what you mentioned, is there was times in some of those league games and in championship, particularly against Antrim, where, to me, I like an early ball, but we were just going from too far out. We were launching balls from the middle of the field, where I'd rather see it being worked from half back to half forward, and then the pass inside, then it's only a 30 or 35 meter pass where it can still take out a sweeper, but it's not as easily read And it's easier for the inside forward to control it, get on a half turn and get a shot off. So that's one key area that they can definitely improve on from last year. And then the other one is where we got caught cold a number of times is people running straight through the middle and getting goals. And obviously we're thinking about the first half against Monaghan last year in the championship. But also the exact same thing happened in one of the league games early in the year where Michael Langan done the exact same thing for Donegal, soloed straight through. And there was men there who either were more occupied with making sure their man didn't get a pass and didn't step across to see the danger and stop him, or else the tackling just wasn't good enough for those that fronted up. So I'd be fairly sure that they're two areas that Kieran and the management team will have been working on this past few months, because you can't afford that at this level.
One other thing, Aaron, I always think that they need is a bit of pace from wing back. I mean, they've good wing backs, but they don't have any real pace. Mark Shields is back, who will add some pace maybe to the number seven position. What about Ross McQuinlan at number five? Like, I mean, you know, most players in that middle third can play, you know, 12 or five. It doesn't make a huge amount of difference. And I'm sure in Australia, he probably played wing back anyway.
Yeah, Ross is blistering pace, no doubt about it. Really exciting player, great ball carrier, could fit in as a wing half back, but so far to date he has been playing the wing half role, wing half forward role, and I would say that's probably what we'll see again from him this weekend. But the way Armagh sort of play is their middle eight sort of seem to be fairly fluid in terms of, you know, the nearly attack and defend as a unit. They'll have the man markers in the full back lane, their scores in the full forward lane, and everyone else sort of seems like they can sort of interchange depending on where to find themselves and who needs a breather. But Ross definitely has huge pace. James Morgan will probably miss this weekend, and he has obviously been well renowned as a man marker. But for ourselves in Crossy Glen last year, we actually pushed him out to the half back lane. And he actually ended up, I'd say it was the best year's football he's ever had for us. He was inspirational in his ball carrying out of defence, kicking scores. But I think he just had a bit of a knock, and this weekend might be too soon for him. But there are plenty of athletic players within the squad. But for pure pace, yeah, Ross McQuillan would definitely be up there, one of the main ones.
Right, so that game is on at 7 o'clock. It's on RT, I'm fairly sure. Air, of course, have gone out of the market. The other one then on Sunday is Kildare against Kerry. You know, Jack O'Connor comes, there'll be some welcome to hell signs out there, leopard, for Jack O'Connor when he lands back in. The cheek of him.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to go now, but he kind of left it a bit. It was kind of strange last year the way he left, the way things finished up. Like, you know, I know he he probably rubbed up a lot of supporters the wrong way, like in the way he handled it, I suppose. But yeah, look, he's gone back down to Kerry. He's back up to Newbridge again, so it'll be a sellout, I'd imagine. So I'm kind of expecting a good kind of atmosphere. There would have been a good atmosphere anyway, and a good kind of hype around. There has been a good hype around the place just because of the new management team in place for Kildare. But I think Jack coming up for the first game is kind of interesting, and it kind of just adds an extra bit of spice to it. For supporters anyway, you know, I'm sure the players and the management team have their own things to be doing, but just for the atmosphere in Newbridge, you know, it'll be great to see for a league game, a good kind of buzz, like nearly since the Newbridge and Nowhere game was the last kind of time that happened. So hopefully we'll get a good game of football, but I think the atmosphere in the crowd should be interesting as well to see how the supporters kind of treat it.
I'd say in a weird way, Glenn Ryan probably won't be thankful to Jack O'Connor for getting promoted. He probably would have been happier in his first year in Division 2, trying to get to Division 1 and kind of building. You know, Division 1 is a difficult starting point for a new management team.
It is, yeah. Like, Division 2 is perfect. I think, you know, for a new manager coming in, say for a Kildare team, like, you know, or Kildare or a Meath or kind of one of those tier teams, it just gives you really good matches, and then at the end of it, you know, you have a good chance of getting promotion as well, and it just kind of brings everything on. Like, it is very difficult, you know, in your first year of management, you know, coming into a team. I know they've been doing a lot of trial games and trying to figure out their style of play, and they're trying to impose their style of play on the Kildare lads. But
any word what that is?
No, and I haven't heard anything, but I'm sure, like, knowing the lads they have involved, I'm sure it'll be fairly open. you know, they'll have an attacking element. I don't think it's going to be anything overly defensive. I can't imagine now, but it'll just be interesting to see what way they go, because they have in the Euro Cup they have kind of brought in a lot of new players and tested out a few lads. So it'll be interesting to see what team they go with on Sunday, just to see, because they will have to go strong, obviously, because Kerry have been going strong in their last few games. But I remember actually, even I think Geezer's first year, we were in Division 1 as well, back in 08, his first year, and we were relegated straight away. You know, it was kind of disappointing, but starting in Division 1 is going to be very, very tough. There's no doubt about that.
Because like, there's a natural kick to Glenn Ryan and the 90s, and he's such a, you know, a hero in Kildare, that four losses in a row, and suddenly, even though the context, look, it's Division 1, you know, that energy could be sucked out of it.
And yeah, and that's the fear, like, you know, but I think that's the thing with the four lads, you know, like if you look at like Glenn, Rainbow, Dermot Early and Johnny Doyle, and now you've Galvin in it as well, like yeah. Those lads aren't going to be happy if they're dropping points anywhere, you know, even on Sunday, even though you're playing the best teams, they'll still have that expectation to put it up to these teams and get wins on the board, like, you know, and it's just a difficult start for them, I think, with Kerry, and I think their next game then is away to Donegal, so it's a tough kind of first two games for them, but I think as the year goes on, I think you will see them improving an awful lot, and once Glenn and the lads get their kind of style of play and the players they want doing the things they want them to do, I think by the middle of the league or the end of the league, that we'll definitely see a huge improvement in what they're doing.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, I mean, we'll talk about Kildare definitely during the league, because I didn't know a lot of the faces that were on some of the O'Byrne Cup games. So there's not too much to go on, you know, or what lads are coming back or how they're playing. Hopefully we'll see them on Sunday on television and we'll have more of an idea. One team we do know more about, Aaron, is Kerry. Like, I mean, I have down here, Kerry look like they're on a mission. You know, Jack O'Connor, and he's dead right, picking a really strong team, even in the McGrath Cup. He doesn't need to try lads out. He's from Kerry. Like, this idea that, you know, you have to try all these lads out that the whole county know aren't good enough. And, like, come in, and if you're from, it's okay for an outside manager, my thoughts on this are, you know, come in, see everyone, make sure you're not missing anyone. If you're from feckin' Kerry, you know everyone. Everyone in Kerry knows everyone. There's no one hiding. There's no, like, brilliant corner forward hiding in some club that nobody's ever heard about. And he just needs this one opportunity. And suddenly, wow, where's he been? I don't really buy into that. I think Jack O'Connor, Kerry look like they're on a mission. Having said that, we thought they were on a mission last year, Aaron, and they came up short.
Yeah, to be fair, he looked like he's going from broke from day one. And it's great to see it. You know, given the success that they had at minor level and the huge pool of players that they had coming through. But I think also, and I know we probably spoke about it previously, is everybody gets exposed to top level club football within Kerry because of the structures they have. So again, that gives them,
yeah.
It's you never get the opportunity to say that we have someone in junior intermediate football that management don't look at them because we're only a junior intermediate club. They'll all get to play in their county championship, you know, at senior level if you're good enough. So you'll never be too far away if you can play a ball in Kerry of getting an opportunity. But to be fair to Jack, He didn't do a whole pile of experimenting. Like from day one, I think he operated with maybe 10 or 11 of the team to start against Tyrone in the All-Ireland semi-final last year. And to me, that's him laying down the message that these are our main men. These are the boys who are holding the positions. And if you want to come in and replace them, or you think you can do a better job, well, then you need to start showing it to me in training, because they have the jersey from day one here. So that's what brings competition and competitiveness within a squad. And like I said, just look at his selection this past few weeks. You can see that he's not going to waste any time. He's won the McGrath Cup from, my opinion, outright. He wants to win the league again, and he wants to carry that momentum through. And I think the one thing that we always know about Jack and his teams is there'll definitely be a steely edge to this Kerry team this year that maybe we just haven't seen this past three or four.
He's been experimenting in midfield. Sean O'Shea played there. Darren O'Sullivan was talking to me on Twitter thinking that's his best position. I think that's crazy stuff. Of course, Dermot O'Connor and Jack Barry are with Nagale. They're playing in Steelstown this weekend. So they're actually from the same club. Stefan Ockenbore is from that club as well. Imagine that, an intermediate champions with those three bloody lads on it. Maybe I was thinking Stefan Ockenbore maybe at centre half back. I probably need to see more from from him, Leper. But like, I mean, they do need a number six since Peter Crowley's gone. They've no kind of, they've two great attacking wing backs, ground, but they've nobody kind of mind in the house that's smart enough to know when to drop and when to mark and, you know, organize a defense.
Yeah, and I think that's what maybe caught them, you know, in those in the last 2 years. It was a Tyrone last year and I think Cork the year before. They just didn't seem like they were going well all year, flying through the league. Everyone was talking about, like, I myself thought they were definitely going to be, it was themselves or Dublin the last 2 years, but they just got caught twice. And maybe that's something like a centre-back or, you know, kind of just a bit of experience there maybe just to see out games because... they were caught twice in 2 years now in big games. That's something that Jack has to look at as well. Like, you know, how can you be going so well and then, you know, like Cork in the Munster final, which they were odds on to win, and then, you know, favourites against Tyrone last year as well to win and just not get over the line. It's kind of something that he might have to look into, and maybe it is something like that, a centre-back or some just a bit more of an experienced head there to kind of read the game or understand, be it the game management or... be a bit more ruthless back there, you know, or it's definitely something that they'll have to look at, but they definitely have everything going for them. So I know we're saying here that they've that they seem to be on a mission this year, but I thought they were on a mission the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Up until those two games, you know, like there was nothing to say that they weren't going to, you know, go all the way in the last 2 years, but then just at the hurdle then, you know, like really important game, just fell at it. And that's something they have to look at, you know, like 2 years in a row, that down in Kerry isn't going to be acceptable for them either.
Yeah, I think Jack O'Connor being back in psychologically is like, this lad can win all Irelands. You know, Peter Keane at the end of the day was, you know, coming up from minor. I think all these little extra psychological things, now they've no excuses. You know, they have a manager that can win in all Ireland. They, you know, they're another year older. We keep saying that, but like, it will be interesting to see, you know, maybe a harder edge to them. Maybe this year, but they're definitely not far away. When you look at it, like, Tyrone needed extra time to beat them and they won the All-Ireland. Talking of Tyrone, Aaron, what do you make of these five lads dropping off the panel? Like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Hugh Pat McGeary, Ronan O'Neill, Michael Cassidy, you can understand, you know, if you're not getting game time. And Ronan O'Neill had a piece in the Irish News when I nearly fell off my chair reading it. So he made the squad for the Kerry panel and for the All-Ireland semi-final. And for the All-Ireland final, his brother's wedding was a week before and he was best man at it. And he asked the management team, you know, what's the story here? They were training the same night. So he went to the brother's wedding, gave the best man speech, got the hell out of there as quickly as he could, drove to training, trained. And I think it was later on that night or the next squad meeting, he was called over to say that he didn't make the squad for the All-Ireland final. I don't know. I think Fergal Logan would be on the ground looking up at me if he did something like that to me. Like, I mean, that's outrageous. And this is, it's a cutthroat business, isn't it, Aaron? Like, you're thinking of Bernard Brogan not making the squad for his last ever game with Dublin. Colin Boyle telling me on Woolly Meets that he didn't make the squad in that All-Ireland behind closed doors against Dublin in what at the time was going to be his last ever game for me. Like, talk about no sentiment and cutthroat business.
Yeah, I read that article myself and you couldn't but feel sorry for Ronan O'Neill. He did absolutely everything that he could to give himself an opportunity. And all we're talking about is to make the squad here. He wasn't talking about even making the team. It was to make the squad, you know, so you could just sense the disappointment from him, even just in the article all these months later. But that is the toughest part of management, is the one bit where I'd say, yeah, I didn't do a bit of coaching or whatever I quit football. But it's something I always sort of said to Dad over 3 years, because I would see his form dipping whenever he knew he was going to have to make a big call, you know, because at the end of the day, he's hurting as well, because it's not an easy call. It's not an easy conversation to have with anyone. And it's the same for every manager. Like, you could just imagine Fergal Logan and Brian Duher seeing the lengths that Ronan went to and then knowing that they still had a pick 26 and he wasn't in it. Like, it couldn't have been an easy conversation for them to deliver or for him to take. You can see from reading that he had sort of his fill of it. Hugh Pat McGeary has been getting plenty of football this past few years, as has Michael Cassidy. You know, so after winning an All-Ireland, you might have thought that definitely, you know, they might try and stick it out and see if they can push on again, but not as huge a praise that they did leave, and they might want to go back and give a bit more to their club. But I have to say the Tiernan McCann one this week, or this week actually come as a big surprise to me. Because he's been...
And Mark Bradley too, because he started the Ulster final last year. We'll leave Mark Bradley out of this, because Mark Bradley is on record saying, you know, there's no problem with the management, they've been absolutely fantastic, etc. And he, whatever, thinks there's more to life. We'll give that a pass. The Tiernan McCann one, you're right, is the interesting one. He was given a minute or two in the All-Ireland final. Like, he's better than that. Michael O'Neill seems to be preferred to him. He's a completely different type of player, more of a stopper. Wouldn't have anywhere near the kind of class or the attributes Tiernan McCann would have. Tiernan McCann seems to be a little bit more like, maybe he's potentially pissed off.
Yeah, it would have to come across like that there. Like someone who has been a complete regular this past number of years since he really broke into the team, and had come on, done really well against Donegal, and then by all accounts was one of the people who was affected by COVID in the lead up to the Ulster final, and then just seemed to really disappear after that. And you would have to imagine, like, there was no talk of injuries or whatever with him. Within his own head, he maybe sees it as, you know, they didn't maybe trust me as a player, or don't think my form's good enough. And as a player, obviously he's entitled to think differently, but to drop off, to go to the lengths of where he drops off a panel completely, definitely it's a huge call. And what it really does is, obviously there's more pressure on Tyrone this year, and they have a bullseye on their back given that they're all Ireland champions, but that takes away a huge amount from the next lane that they're calling in, because Michael Cassidy started in the championship last year, as did Tiernan McCann, Mark Bradley also. Hugh Pat McGeary would have been obviously coming in to the team as well. So definitely you're talking about players who were seeing game time, and obviously, if nothing else, the quality that they were bringing to A versus B games, it's severely diluted as they head into a campaign as All-Ireland champions.
Yeah, it's unusual, Leper, isn't it, to see five fellas who are, four of which saw championship game time, to all leave the following year.
Yeah, it was very strange, especially, well, maybe after winning the All-Ireland, maybe some of them said, oh, here, like, you know,
I have my medal.
Yeah, and like they're kind of at a stage where maybe, are they really going to be competing constantly over the next 5 or 6 years? Like, whereas a Dublin or a Kerry would think that way, you know, like if a Kerry team won, now would they be hungry for the next one? I don't know if Tyrone... Yeah, I don't know. Like, it might just take away that motivation and that hunger to, you know, to get back and do it all again. And maybe if they're 50-50 at all, like, you're better off, in fairness, just walking and stepping away from it, because it's a fairly like, we all know the kind of pressures that you'd be under, you know, physically and mentally playing intercounty football. So maybe they just kind of have their All Ireland and they're going, geez, like, will we ever get that high again? Like, you know, get that up to that level again. And I don't know, it is very strange though, and I kind of would worry for Tyrone this year, like, especially in the National League now, just to see how they go, because teams are going to be mad to beat them. And as well, with those five lads gone, maybe if there's a little drop in hunger, a little drop in motivation, that's huge, you know, when you're playing Division 1 as well. So it'll be interesting to see how they get on. I haven't seen them in their preseason games, but like, there's obviously maybe something going on there in the background that we don't know about, but it'll tell in the National League anyway, I think, when they see them playing. But it's very strange to see five of them going, though. Like, I don't think that's ever happened.
It kind of strikes me as some sort of issue with the management's man management style, or, you know, maybe not being fair to them. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. At the end of the day, they won the All Ireland. Like, I mean, you can't ever criticize anything that management team has done on the pot. Even, and I was just thinking, even the brilliant Tyrone teams in the noughties weren't able to follow their All Ireland wins up with another good year. They usually, you know, went out the following year. Cathal McShane, on the positive side, Cathal McShane will be back. He'll probably start getting a start. Conor McKenna has another year under his belt. He'll probably move out to the half forward line, you know, full time. And Dara Canavan, we'd like to see more of him, Aaron. So, like, I mean, there is positives for Tyrone, you know, notwithstanding the big loss the five lads are going to make to those in-house games.
Yeah, like, and again, it's something that you've spoken about in the show, like, and it could be the potential now this year, the way the personnel that they have lost, if you have Dara Canavan a year older and hopefully a year fully fit, he can't be sitting on the bench again this year. He needs to break into a forward lane. Cathal McShane is fully back to full fitness. He needs to break into that forward lane. Is it a case where Conor McKenna then gets released to midfield or half back, where his blistering pace could cause serious problems? So they still have plenty of options there. Obviously, they're all Ireland champions. They have a quality squad there. And in relation to the management, like, Ronan O'Neill was complimentary to them, even though the decisions were tough on them as well. I think, so from looking on the outside in, they're probably hard taskmasters in terms of they're there to win All Irelands. You know, they weren't going in there to win an Ulster title. They've achieved that now. But I do think that they would have the sort of wherewithal to know how to deal with players. They're top level players in terms of obviously Duher and Logan themselves, but so has their backroom team and Joe McMahon, Peter Donnelly, Collie Holmes, all boys who won All Irelands, you know, whenever Tyrone were going really well also. So it doesn't look great now, but I still think that they have enough players there that they'll have another competitive game, even though, like I said, they do have a huge bullseye in their back now and everyone will be gunning for them.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, I mean, we'll talk about Mayo Donegal on Monday's show. We'll analyse them. We'll be analysing all the big teams over the course of the league. Just want to run quickly through the other divisions, lads, because we want to also preview these All-Ireland Club semi-finals in part two. And Jesus, you nearly need 3 hours today to get through all of this. Galway Mead is probably a very big one. They'd be the two favourites, or, you know, two of the favourites to get out of there. But it's not really the top. You've Galway... Galway actually have Keane O'Neill involved, Leper. Like, I mean, you know, he's been brought in to give them a bit of organisation. I suppose based on the last job he had was a Munster final with Cork. I'm not sure organisation is his strong point. Maybe you'll be able to jump to his defence here. You've had hands-on experience.
Yeah, no, like I think that's a great appointment for them. You know, for Galway, Keane is very, when he was with us, when I was involved there for 3 years with him, like from a coaching point of view, he was excellent. You know, he was really, really good on the field doing coaching stuff. He's very scientific in his approach. He's very detailed in the skills as well. You know, he'd be a good. I think he'd be a good fit for Galway. To be fair, he's. I'm not sure what his role was in Cork or how much. You know, with COVID and stuff, I'm not sure how much access he had to Cork over the last year or two. But
yeah, true. I'm just being a bit of a bollocks there, yeah. making fun. You did play a lovely brand of football under him.
No, yeah, he did, and we did, and he is very into open football, like, you know, so like for attacking, playing through the lines, kick pass, and that's his thing. You know, we worked an awful lot on that. Now I just don't think in Kildare we had you know, the players maybe to do that style, but we adapted a bit. You know, we played more of a running game under him, I think, just because that's the players we had. But in Galway, like, they will have those kind of natural kick passers coming out of the fence. And they like to play, even though they haven't been playing in recent years. Galway have been like mad defensive, you know, from when I was playing them there at the end, like maybe 3 or 4 years ago, they were like unbelievably defensive. So yeah, I think it'll suit them. I think Galway, the Galway team is generally, you know, an open kind of a football team. But he'll bring plenty of plenty of energy and plenty of ideas to them. The occlusion goggles will come as well, you know, so they'll have to start working on their handling a bit, or they'll be out again.
Did you wear them?
We wore them. Yeah, well, we wore them that session. So he brought them in to work on our handling. You know, they kind of block your vision from the bottom part of your eye.
Periphery, yeah.
Yeah,
periphery,
so they were very good, like, in fairness. Like, you would find it very hard to, you're using your instinct nearly to catch a ball if it's down at your feet or whatever, but he...
But you're not always told to keep your eye on the ball. They nearly go against what you're supposed to be doing.
I know, yeah. Now, in fairness, like, we brought them out, and I think that was more for TV. They had, they were doing some scientific kind of, it was a documentary or something on us. Our backroom team, I think, was doing something, so we brought them out. But sure, like, are Leash not soloing tennis balls out into the pitch these days, or what are they doing? Did I hear that?
I think I think every county should throw out as many rumours of what they're doing as possible and totally blow the opposition away. Have them all copying them. If I won an All-Ireland final, the things I would be saying we've done that year, get everyone to copy. I never heard the tennis balls. That could be Billy Sheehan one. You never know. Were they doing that in the O'Byrne Cup?
Someone said that. Yeah, I heard that online, someone saying that they come out in the warm-up solo on tennis balls. I didn't see it myself, but... I must keep an eye over that one. That's a good one.
No, I definitely haven't heard that one. Of course, the bottom of Division 2, the top of Division 3 is very interesting, Aaron, because that's going to determine the Tailteann Cup next year. So, like, I mean, this is going to be a little bit cutthroat. We're looking at Offaly, Down. Like, I feel bad throwing Clare into the mix for relegation because it's been so consistent. But Division 2 is bloody difficult this year. You have Cork, you have Roscommon, you have Derry, you have Meath, you have Galway in it. And then, you know, around the top of Division 3, you have Laois, you have Louth, you have Westmead, you know, Longford are in it, Fermanagh are in it. So all those teams, and I saw Billy Loughlin, the Longford manager, saying, we don't care about the Leinster Championship. Like, you know, this is what we're all about.
Yeah, it is. You would have to say that there is probably a clear top four within the Division 2. Just even the likes of Derry there, who obviously we haven't spoke about, like they have a clear mission and that's to be getting back to the top table. And they're definitely, Rory Gallagher's building a good group there. Awfully coming like off the back of such a good under 20 campaign last year, getting Tomás O'Shea on board, how well they knit those new players in and the, I suppose the fresh voice and expertise that Tomás will bring them should give them a bit of a lift. But you still would see themselves, Down and Clare, as been the three that may come under the most pressure to retain their status there. And I suppose now more than ever, league has just taken on, you know, a whole new meaning because it really has huge repercussions if you're not sitting in Division 2 by the time the league campaign comes to a conclusion.
Yeah, no, it's definitely the case. And like, I mean, what did you make of Billy O'Loughlin's comments about the Leinster Championship leper? Like, I mean, he's nearly overly honest with it. Have to say, like, Longford have Westmead in the Leinster Championship. It's not like they have it's not like they're after drawing Dublin.
Yeah, and but like it's just kind of sad, I think, the Leinster Championship over the last, it's just sad the way they've kind of let it taper out over the last 10 years. Like for those kind of teams, you know, and even Kildare, like over the years there, like you're really not really expecting to win it. You know, you are kind of when you're a player and you're in there, you have to believe it. And you do, like, in fairness, and we got to a final there, what team was 2017 or something, but like and I remember going into the match going, like, thinking, yeah, Jesus, we can, like, we can do this, do that, and what if this happens and we can go, you know, and we ended up losing by 9 points and everyone was celebrating it, you know, a 9 point loss because we got them to within single figures. I was like, geez, this is like, what are we doing here? Like, how did it get to this? Like, how did it get to this that we're celebrating a 9 point loss in the Leinster final? But it is sad, like, you know, and even the draw as well, like, they changed the draw. So the draw, obviously, the first round, they don't announce who Dublin are going to play.
yeah, so, in the semi final.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Until things. So, like, basically, the key players here. You know, I think that's what they had to change the draw because they didn't want teams knowing they were going to end up playing Dublin and then saying, oh, here, affect this, we'll just head off. Like, you know, yeah. And it's kind of sad. And it the way it used to be, like when I started playing in 2002, like everyone, every like six teams had a chance to win this and a real chance. And like, you won one, like we won obviously in 2000, Dublin 2001. I think, did you win 2002? Or you were 2003?
2003. Offaly won one in 97.
Yeah, Westmead won one. Like Meath and Louth in that final. Louth could have won one. You know what I mean? It was just open, and it's kind of sad the way it has changed. But look, it's a bigger problem. I don't know how they're going to fix it. Like, but it's something needs to be done with the Leinster Championship, like, seriously, because it's not really appealing to anyone at the moment.
No, definitely not. And like, I mean, we tried to push it back to nearly a Byrne Cup status, but they didn't want that restructure. They have it still in this Proposal B. I promise we will not talk about Proposal B. Right, we're going to leave it there. I'm not even going to mention Division 4 again. We're going to cover all divisions right across it. We just don't have time today. Cavan and Tipperary looked like nearly almost shoo-ins. No disrespect to any of the other teams there, but Cavan and Tip should not be there, you know, and you'd imagine they'll both come up. There's not too much riding on Division 4. I suppose Division 1 the most interesting, and then the bottom Division 2 and top of Division 3 are maybe ones we might focus on. Right, we'll have to leave it there, lads, or we'll be there here all day. We'll come back and we'll have a look at the two All-Ireland semi-finals in the club. Smaller Fish GEA is powered by Benetti Menswear, who supply a range of tailoring, groomswear, casual menswear, footwear, and accessories. Yeah, so I want to start off with the Kilmacud Padraig Pearce's game. This is at 5 o'clock in Kingspan Breffni Park. It's on TG Cahir. So we'll be able to watch this. The other one's in Amore Park, which I'll be able to float over to, which is fantastic. I think there could be a shock on the cards here. I'll start with you, Leper. You've hands-on experience with Kilmacud Crokes. They're a very good team, but ye caused them trouble in the first half. Port Arlington caused them all sorts of trouble. Wolf Tones caused them trouble in Navan. I don't know. I think they're the Dublin champions who usually I would be tipping, but I don't know. I think you can get at Kilmacud Crokes. Am I right, or have I got this arseways?
No, you're 100%. I haven't watched our game back yet, and I won't. But I just, from my memory of the game, in the first half, it felt like we could, when we got the ball, we could do what we wanted with it. You know, I felt we moved the ball out. We could get through them. We broke the line. We could. You know, we created a huge amount of good scoring opportunities. Yeah. Now, we didn't take them. And that was our, like, obviously our biggest problem in that game was in the first half. We missed like five or six scoreable chances. And, you know, we went in a point down at halftime. We really should have been 3 or 4 points up. I felt we were playing very well. We'd cut out their kickout. We did very well on their kickout. We got good success off that. We just didn't get it on the scoreboard up the other end. Similar enough to when you look at the Port Arlington game. Port Arlington, like, you know, we're all over them in that first half.
Yeah.
And it was, I was kind of going, geez, like, you really can't get at these lads. But what happened, I think, and one of their strengths and something that they do, they were a completely different team in the second half. And from the Port Arlington game as well, you can see that. Yeah. They just changed.
How was that? What did it change? I don't know.
They completely cut out what we were doing. Basically, the stuff that was working for us in that first half, it was gone in the second half. Nearly early in the first 5 or 10 minutes, we couldn't get runners through the middle. You know, we were kind of breaking the line. That stopped. Now, in fairness, we didn't give them a kick out.
Your long kick out stopped working in the second half, didn't it?
Yeah, we did. And we wouldn't have been looking to go long every time, you know, our long kick out. But it was just, we kind of had a bit of success in the first half. And maybe they stopped. I think they pressed up maybe and forced us long, but they were able to deal with that very well. They kind of just took the energy out of us, the things that were working for us and things that we wanted to continue doing in the second half just didn't seem to be there anymore. And when they were a point up, they caught us on the counter a couple of times, got 2, 3, 4 points up. And once they got 3 or 4 points up, that was it. They just managed the game very well, kept the ball, frustrated us. And like, I think it's similar to the Port Arlington game, you know, and even in their county final, I think they came back, they were losing that game in the Dublin county final for long periods and came back just in the last minute. So that is one thing I would look at, you know, you can definitely get at them. And I think if you can deal with that in the second half, you know, if they come at you in the second half, like 100 miles an hour, or they change things up, like, That's where the game is for them. That's the way they played it. It's very risky, I think, if that's the way they do it. But I think that's just the way the game's panned out.
I think maybe I'm putting one spin on it, Aaron, that they can be got at. But then, like, if you wanted to put a positive spin on Kilmacud Crokes, you'd list all the games they looked in bother at halftime. Like, I thought the Naas game was a 50-50 game at halftime. I thought Port had them. In the county final, I thought they were gone. It was late. Like, I mean, you know, if you want to put a positive spin on it, you say they're well able to fix things within games. They never say die. They're a second-half team. And you could turn that, you know, almost they can be got at into, you know, a positive for them that they're able to fix it.
Yeah, you would have to say that is a probably fair reflection of them in terms of how you're sitting back and you're looking at them. But there has to be a real good input into their management there in terms of what they're seeing, that they're able to see where things are going wrong, that they're able to rectify it. But then the players are also capable of taking it on board. So I don't know whether, I mean, they changed the whole pile tactically in terms of how they set up or the positions they give you ball. But whatever message, how they're managing, read the game, the message they deliver to their players, and then how they can execute it, you have to be impressed, because they can turn games around where they do look like they're in danger or in bother. But the longer you stay in this competition, the better the opposition is. And as Eamon says, it's not something that I would like to be relying on, that let's stay in this here till halftime, reassess, and then we'll go again. To be fair to them, if I used to sit and look at this was the great Kilmacud team that beat us in an All Ireland final, or that, you know, we had an epic game with them in an All Ireland semi final in 2010 or 2011, the players that they had then, they don't have that quality again. You're Kevin Nolan, Kane O'Sullivan, Rory O'Carroll, Brian Kavanagh, Adrian Morrissey from Wexford was playing for them as well up front. Pat Burke, like they had an unbelievable team. Paul Griffin, the McGees, the whole lot. They don't have the same team, but they're so hard to put away. And you have to be impressed. And you know, even their hurlers were the same. Looked like they were going to lose a county final against Nafain, and were able to turn it around. So there's definitely for a club, they're very, very resilient. And I would have them as favourites going into the game this weekend, and I would expect them to win it. Even though I think Pearce's will give them their fill of it, I still think that they have enough within them to win it. And if it comes to a possession game, which Pearce's give them, Pearce's give them the ball, and they like to build from the back. Kilmacud are very good at pressing high up the field and getting turnovers, and then being clinical.
I think Pearce's, like you would be leaning towards Kilmacud. I can see that they're probably Pearce's are 2-1 outsiders. I don't think they're anywhere near that leper. Like, I mean, the Padraig Pearce's strike me as a kind of a winter team. They've a big team down the middle. They've got that really strong club bond, you know, a little small area. Like they almost, they were level with Corrifin with 10 minutes to go. 2 years ago, they've beaten the Galway champions, Mount Bellew Mylock, who beat Corrifin. They've beaten the Mayo champions. Like, I mean, for me, I don't think I think it's outrageous that they're 2-1 outsiders. I look at this as a 50-50 game.
Yeah, and I think as well, the venue as well, you know, and the pitch, like, you know, they've like
heavy pitch in Breffni, yeah,
heavy pitch, you know, and you know what the weather is going to be like, whether it be windy, the ball, like they would have had, or Kilmacud would have had their last two games in Croke Park, you know, and like it's a completely different ball game playing, you know, playing there than Breffni Park. So like that'll be a key factor in it as well. So I think that will suit them. But yeah, Kilmacud, like they just play very wide, very patient, and then they have they're very physical. They are physical. I noticed that, like, you know, all over the pitch they were very physical. So I think Kilmacud will be able to deal with them that way. But yeah, I'd be the same. I don't think I wasn't coming out, even though like they beat us well in the Leinster final. I still think that the Kilmacud can be got at, you know, and I still think they're missing something. Maybe that if a team can get on top of them, and just have a good setup to, you know, to hold on to that lead, I think Kilmacud could struggle. But I think the conditions will help. But it'll be looking forward to it, and a good game of football. Though I think both teams kind of go play football, so that'll be nice to see.
Yeah, like, I mean, Paul Carey was outstanding the last day, Aaron, but Kilmacud have a few good man markers with the McGowans as well to be able to shut that down. I just think Pearce's, like, I mean, the three Dailies up the middle, Hubert Darcy, they've Niall Carty, all big men, good winter footballers, good club spirit, you know, on the go a long time, you know, their age profile. I often find like these kind of, I don't want to disrespect Padraig Pearce's by calling them a dogged teams. Like, I don't like playing those type of teams in the winter.
They're hard to play against, that's for sure. And they have been very consistent for a number of years. I know the championship they won a couple of years ago was only the first one that they'd won in Roscommon, but they've been building, you know, and they've been at the business end of the championship within Roscommon. And now, obviously, they've taken the next step to go on to be provincial champions. And yeah, it's fair to say, like, in particular, if you throw in the Dailies and the type of players they are, characters are, they're very combative, and they're not going to stand back and let Kilmacud control the ball, you know, and play a game at their own pace, at their own tempo. They'll rip into this and they'll not hold anything back, because they're well aware, you know, there's no guarantees you get back to this stage next year or anytime soon. So I do think they'll throw absolutely everything at them, but I just think that the athleticism that Kilmacud have all across the field, as Eamon mentioned, how wide they keep it, and then they have these strike runners coming up the middle, that they're able to sort of play it anyway also, you know, in terms of they can play a slow possession-based game if needs be, but they also have a kicking game there if they're allowed to play. But I don't think it's going to be the most open and free-flowing game of football. I can't see it being hugely high-scoring either, but I do think that it'll be very entertaining, and I think it'll go down to the wire. There's not going to be much in it.
The other one obviously is Kilcoo. I think Kilcoo have gone in. No, Kilmacud are favourites. Kilcoo probably definitely up there with them. They're playing St Finbarrs. I don't know, did you watch this, Eamon, the Ulster final, or can you bring yourself to watch the competition that you know you lost out in? But the scenes after Kilcoo, it's only their second ever Ulster title, and you know, when they were making their captain speeches, you know, it was just lift the cup. It was like, basically it was kind of like the trophy presentation of a team under eighth in a row county title. Do you know, it just kind of, we talk about Kerry meaning business, just Kilcoo had a look to me after that game that Jesus, these lads are coming back here, and there's only one thing that's going to make them happy.
Yeah, and that's like, they've had that over the last few years, I suppose, that experience of it. And I didn't see it myself now, but they're a very, very strong team. Like, and I think this is the one thing that they're really focusing on. So I don't know how it'll go Sunday, but I'm presuming they're favourites. Like, obviously, but it's still not that. It's still kind of tight there though as well, you know, and Tullamore as well. Same with the pitch there.
One more pack.
It'd be interesting to see. Sorry?
Oh, it's in O'More Park.
It's in O'More Park. It'll just be interesting to see how they get on, but they definitely seem to have a kind of a steeliness about them and a motivation that they're going all the way here. Like,
yeah, the thing about it is, like, I mean, the last time the Ulster champions played the Munster champions in O'More Park was 2 years ago. It was 2019, 3 years ago. Maybe now Nemo played Slocknail and beat them. I don't know, Aaron. Like, I mean, I think tradition counts for a bit. The Bars in Cork are very big traditional club. They won All-Ireland clubs in the 80s in hurling and in football, and I'm sure they'll be saying to each other, you know, that was their first Munster title back. We don't lose All-Ireland semi-finals. And I don't, like, I mean, I remember with Portlaoise, like, we'd have a good tradition in Leinster and, you know, in the All-Ireland series and stuff. I remember saying things like that in the dressing room as captain. We don't, you know, and, like, I mean, that kind of stuff kind of works. It gives you that little bit of extra. This club doesn't lose these matches. That's what the St Finbarrs are going to be saying. What the hell do Kilcoo know about this stage?
Yeah, that's fair enough too, but just Kilcoo are a down club, and we all know the confidence and the cockiness and the swagger that can come out of a down club or a down team once they get on a run. So no, they'll not lack in self-belief either. But yeah, like, Cork team, once they go on a run, they would believe that, you know, this is where we belong. And it's probably, well, there's no probably in it, you know, for a club of their size, stature, and some of the iconic names that have gone beforehand. They've been away from the top table for too long. And I would have Kilcoo as favourites for this, just because of obviously their experience from a couple of years ago, the huge disappointment that they will have had from letting Carfin off the hook whenever they had them. And they can play again, similar to what we mentioned with Kilmacud. You know, Kilcoo, they're very comfortable if everyone's behind the ball and it's a slow, ponderous game. You know, they have the focus to stick at a game like that there for 45, 50 minutes and then get a couple of breakaway goals or scores at the end, you know, to see them across the line. So they have the confidence as well. They have the experience. And just like you mentioned, the no celebrations. That's been a thing they've done now for a while. It hasn't just been Ulster. They tend not to over celebrate things or show too much joy, which for me, I didn't care how many I won. Everyone meant just as much as the last to me. You know, that's what we're here for. We're here to win. We're here to celebrate, and we're here to enjoy it. You know, yes, you can be focused and be driven that there's something bigger down the lane, but, you know, go out and enjoy it and have a bit of crack and have a bit of fun for it. But they're very, very focused, there's no doubt about it. They've got a good management team. They've men, Conor Gilligan, who's in with them, who has won All-Ireland club, obviously, titles with Ballanderry, and knows the whole scene, as does Mickey Morn. So you can be fairly sure that it'll not be for the lack of focus or drive that's going to come from them this weekend that they wouldn't make it back to an All-Ireland final.
It won't be from the lack of focus anyway, Aaron, because you were saying on the show here, or the my previous show, that you felt in the noughties when you were going up against Tyrone that you were nearly too focused, you know, with McGeaney and these lads, and you didn't celebrate Ulster's like maybe you should have, or let your hair down. You know, that kind of, like, celebrating winning something is massive, even if it is in the middle of a season and you have bigger fish to fry. You have to close that door with a celebration and then go back at it.
Absolutely. And I think you can get too engrossed in things. And I was listening to another podcast. It wasn't a sporting one, don't worry, but it was Paul O'Connell who was on it recently. And he was asked what was the best advice that he would give to an 18-year-old Paul O'Connell. And he says, enjoy it 5% more than what I did the last time, and let everyone else who's around me enjoy it. Do you know? So similarly, right. It seemed like he was just so focused, driven. How can I improve? How can I drive my teammates on? But that's what he said he would do. Just enjoy it that wee bit more and try and let everyone else around me. So yes, be focused, and, you know, yes, look at a bigger picture and have, you know, the ultimate goal in front of you. But you can get very, very bogged down in that there as well. And if I look back, and like I said, I've said it before, I think there's times where we just kept looking too far ahead, too further down the lane, that you weren't enjoying what you were doing and the reason why you were doing it. You know, it was always looking to the end of the summer instead of enjoying what was happening as the summer was progressing.
Yeah, like, I mean, Leopard, these geezers, these Paul O'Connells, like, I mean, teams don't win without these fellas. But if the geezers and the Paul O'Connells don't want to celebrate a win, go on home. I want to celebrate. Don't drag me with you.
Yeah, no, we had plenty of those debates, I suppose, back then as well. And even now, I think it happens in every team now. Like, you're just kind of, and looking back on my own career as well when I was playing, and I would have the exact same kind of thoughts there. Like, we didn't win a whole lot in Kildare, like, but, you know, even winning a big championship match, like, yeah, a big game, like, you didn't really celebrate it, like, you couldn't, and you'd be feel bad if you did. You know, you'd be kind of told to stop, like, or relax, you know, just calm down here, we have a match now again in next week or 2 weeks. And that's one thing that annoyed me looking back. It goes, geez, yeah, like, we had some great wins, like, you know, great big championship games in Croke Park, or, like, you know, in the qualifiers, winning big matches, but you didn't really, you couldn't celebrate them, like, you know, you were just kind of too focused on the next game, the next, you know, the next training session, really, and getting yourself right for that. And by the end of the year, then, when you get knocked out, it's gone, like, you know, and you're just depressed from getting knocked out, and you can't really go back to, oh, but geez, remember, you know, Newbridge or nowhere, and we had that unbelievable win and all that. Like, you know, that's one thing I would always kind of see, and even myself playing this year, like, I just wanted to enjoy it a lot more, enjoy the moment a bit more, like, when we won things or when we won a game, just not to be too over the top with the kind of focus and the drive for the next match. Like, you know, you really do have to let your hair down and enjoy these things, because it doesn't happen too often. Like, you know, you really do have to kind of let the moment, you know, kind of overwhelm you and just go with it.
I remember I've often said to Johnny Doyle, the year you beat Laois in Tullamore, it was under McGeaney, hammered Laois. Jesus, it might have been back in 2010 or 11 anyways. 2009, that was it. And I remember I was walking out, I was up playing with Parnells. I hadn't committed to Laois that year, but I remember seeing you walking down the town afterwards. Looked immaculate in tracksuits and runners, all the same clothes. And I remember thinking in my head, Jesus, that kind of looks professional after a game. And then I was thinking, are they going to the pub, or are they even going to go out after this? And my mind kind of got distracted, wondering, will they now go home? Or did no going out closing their bags and all these things, because I hadn't really seen that before, you know, this real ultra professionalism where you're back into your tracksuit. They're all doing it now, but that was the first time I kind of seen that, you know, back in almost like you were almost in recovery mode already.
Oh, yeah. And that's the way we would have done it. Like, you know, you were kind of just focusing, like, that evening you would have gone back. We were actually going to a hotel for food after that, I'd say, and then bus the way home. I can't remember if we went out that night, but I'm sure we did. I can't really remember. But yeah, no, it would have been very much focused and, like, on, right, that's that one job done, right, Leinster final now in 2 weeks' time, and that's, you know, let's get set for that. Like, and in fairness, like, you do need that. I think, you know, but at the same time, looking back, I think just get a bit more enjoyment out of winning those games, even for a day or two, like, after it, and then, you know, get back to business then.
Yeah, exactly. So finish up with predictions on these games, lads. I'm going for Pierce's and I'm going for Kilcoo. Aaron, I'll go to you.
I'll go for Kilmacud and I'll go for Kilcoo.
Okay, Leper?
I'm the same, yeah. I'll go Kilmacud and Kilcoo.
Kilmacud and Kilcoo. Is it like one last point on this, Aaron? Isn't it terribly disappointing? Now, I know we won't have to deal with this again, that like we're just given, like you really should do a full show on these All-Ireland semi-finals, with, you know, with an interview thrown in. They had a media day this week. You know, like, I mean, number one, I'm a one-man team, so I couldn't possibly do a separate show. But like, I mean, it's mixed in with inter-county league matches. You know, it is, it's always been like that. My kind of thing with the final is the hurling and the football is on the same weekend. There's definitely a round of hurling matches the weekend of the hurling. I'm not sure about the football. We won't have to deal. The good news is we won't have to deal with this ever again, pretty much, that the club will get its own. The semi-finals and the finals won't be just diluted into an inter-county schedule.
Yeah, and the fact is that we're back to, we haven't had a full round of Division 1 league. You know, it's been interrupted for 2 years, and you just have so many big clashes in it that obviously it does bring the attention of the whole country. But obviously, like an All-Ireland club semi-final for those clubs that are competing at whether it is junior, intermediate, senior, it's massive. It's the be-all and end-all. And really, as GAA supporters or GAA pundits and media, like, you know, we should be getting the opportunity to absolutely maximise that there and put them to the forefront of everything that is happening this weekend. But like you say, COVID just has scuppered a lot of plans. But it has helped in one way, that it has brought us the split season that from hopefully the end of this year onward, the club is going to take pride of place and get maximum exposure.
Yeah, exactly. Right, we'll leave it there. So, lads, that's it for today's show. Remember, Smaller Fish GAA is powered by Benetti Menswear. It's an Irish brand who are one of Ireland's leading menswear suppliers. Good luck.
We're fucked over the line twice. Fucked over the line like you'd catch a fucking loaf of bread and fucked you over the line with his shoulder.
But for my part, what concerned me was the way his good name was attacked.
The game is called football for a very simple reason, that you're predominantly supposed to use the foot.
Killing in the name of...